Hey, buddy, how are you?
Oh, man. Good,
Good,
good. How are you?
good, good. Do you hear me
Awesome,
fine?
awesome. Yeah.
Okay, awesome, man.
Yeah, thank you
But
so much for, like, I know how much your time is valuable. I really appreciate it, man.
no, 110%. I'm just trying to get your questions here.
Absolutely. Yeah, I have them right here if you want to as well.
So
Yeah, man, it's tough, like,
home,
owning your own
yes.
business and hustling.
Is it?
Yeah.
I've never got that term hustling. I'm like, dude,
Yeah.
it's just work.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Okay, so I got your questions here. So thanks again. I believe I'm recording. This is the first time I'm using this. So if
Oh, me too.
if I figure something out or screw it up, let me know. Okay.
Yeah, likewise.
So let's kind of sit back and kind of chat from there. So thanks again
Absolutely.
for coming on. Really do appreciate it. What questions do you have that you want to help? Like, there's a lot of questions here. Why don't you kind of pick one that's kind of the most important to you?
Yeah, so like the most important is just acquiring clients and finding like what kind of strategies I can take to acquire these clients. Obviously, there's like different stages when you're first starting out and you don't have a budget to spend on marketing. There's like types of strategies you can take. And after that, after you have like some kind of budget, there's like a path you go down. And I believe
Sure.
like I'm at this path right now, and I don't know how to like strategically go from here. So,
Sure.
and as well as like pricing, like I've had like a lot of meetings, but like I've been struggling with pricing and how do you price like a job?
Yeah, I mean, so they're two separate questions, so let's kind of break them down. One is
Absolutely.
generating leads, the other one is contracts and pricing. So we'll come back to the contracts and pricing afterwards. We'll
Yep.
go towards generating leads first of all. Do you have a marketing budget, or are you like, is it like $50 type of thing?
No, it's like 1,000 to
Great.
3,000 or 4,000
Oh,
a
you know
month.
what? Perfect. Okay, so when I first started, the way I did it is I started just doing door knocking and cold calling on myself because I had experience doing it. So, the second I could pay for somebody to do it for me, I paid for somebody to do it for me. That is how you generate leads in this industry. You don't generate leads with Facebook. I mean, you could generate leads with Google, but they're just not as reliable as having somebody do outbound cold reach for you. Okay.
Okay.
So hire somebody to do it. And you don't need to hire a Canadian. You could hire somebody overseas in the Philippines to do it for $1,200 a month, and they can book you 12 appointments a month. Good ones.
Okay.
Right? So
Awesome.
they book you 12 appointments a month, and then out of that, you should be able to close three or four of them. Right? And then all of a sudden you're like, okay, well, I got three or four more contracts. Average sale might be like $1,000. So you're making an extra $1,200 a month. You're like, now I could hire two of them. Right? And then you hire two of them, and now you're getting 24 leads a month. And
Awesome.
then you just
Okay.
keep doing that. Okay. So now I've given you really the simple version of it. There's a lot more nuance, complexity that goes into it. But like the simple version, that's what I would do. Okay.
Awesome.
So yeah. Now let's talk about your second part, which is you don't know how to bid. Do you not know how to, like, are you guesstimating? Like, you're walking in, you're looking at a place, and you're like, oh, this place is kind of like the size of this other place I had. It took me that long. Or like, how are you getting to a price currently?
Yeah, so I'm adding everything together, like basically based on like past experiences. I'll take a guess, an estimate of how much time it'll take us. Like, what's the best case scenario and what's the worst case scenario? And then after that, like, I'm putting all the costs together, like the labor costs and the equipment I'm gonna be needing. So what am I burning for this place a month? And then I'm adding like 30, 50%
Margins on
to
it.
it, and then like, and yeah.
Get a program called Route, Route.
Okay.
Guy's a friend of mine that owns a company. I'm going to be doing a few events speaking for him. The guy knows everything. They just got a huge, like investment, and it's going to be a really big company for janitorial businesses. It's how to do proposals. It'll build a proposal for you, do the pricing for you, all of it. right? And you can have all of your cleaners on there. I would highly recommend using that program. You don't need to build your own system. Just use that program. Like, we've built our own checklist, and it took me 10 years to do it, and it works perfectly for us. But if I was redoing it new, I would just get that program.
Awesome.
It's like, I don't know what it costs per month, but you don't need to guess anymore. It'll be 100% accurate.
No, that's awesome. Yeah, it's getroot.com, right?
The website. Yeah.
Okay, awesome. Okay. Yeah, I'm on it. I'll definitely be using it.
There you go. Like, so that answers those two questions for you. Okay. What are you at in sales right now?
So I'm doing like only one-time cleans, basically. I'm not doing like recurring cleans a lot, so like post-construction sites and stuff. And like,
so you're doing, post-construction deep cleaning.
Yeah.
That's, do you have any contracts right now? So what do you do all day?
I'm actually a student. I go to university.
Oh, so you go to university all day? What are you going to school for?
Finance.
Oh, nice. Nice.
Yeah.
Are you wanting to do your janitorial business instead of finance?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, school, I know I hate school. It's not for me. it's a waste of time, man. You know, but like, I have to go.
As your safety, parents,
it
makes sense. Yeah, I was gonna say, I was like, yeah, I bet you your parents are forcing me to go. Like, I get it, right?
Exactly.
So, yeah, I get it. I mean, just hit the pavement. Honestly, where we started was we just went after restaurants at the beginning. Oh. They're so easy to get. Like, if you're comparable in price. And you can clean a little bit better than what they're doing. And they always have problems because they clean 365 days a year, right? And it's easy to get to a general manager. You just walk in and ask the hostess. They'll take you right to them. Their gatekeeper is dog shit. You don't have to get through all these people, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, a contract is $1,500 to $2,400 a month. So you make $500-$600 bucks on them. Like, they're a lot of work. You could do it early morning before school and have somebody go clean it. And you could honestly go out and probably get 10 of those contracts, and you have potentially a 200K a year business. And you could do in like 2 months.
Do you know what the profit margin is, like, if you don't mind me asking, on like this kind of industry?
A restaurant?
No, like the janitorial business.
Do you want gross or net? I mean, let's just talk gross, because net is net's dependable on expenses, right? Yeah. So, I mean, like, gross... We are at 40 to 45.
That's impressive, man.
Yeah. So we're at 40 to 45, right? And we do it a very unique way where we give our guys, some contracts are 15, right? But when I was at the beginning of it, of having a janitorial company, if I made 50 bucks on a contract, I was happy. I was, because I was living at home with my parents, and I was like, oh my God, that 50 bucks in that contract just... paid for my cell phone bill. And then I get another contract where I made $100, and I was like, oh my God, like it's going to pay for my gas. And then over time, what ended up happening was, you know, maybe I definitely underbid at the beginning, cause I had no clue what I was doing. I was just guesstimating. And then over time we do great cleaning. And then I'd be like, hey, we need an extra 200. And I'd never had a client say no to me, especially when they knew I underbid it. Right. Or they would give us 2-3 other locations. And I'm like, oh, I'm making $200 per location. I got 5 of them. And I'm like, all right, man. Now I'm making $1,000.
That's awesome. I want to go back to the client acquisition. You said, I actually did hire a company. I paid them $1,000.
Don't hire a company. You can't hire
I paid them.
You have to do it yourself.
No, I know. I did it myself, and I was hiring too. Like, I wanted to go at a faster pace, like you said.
Yeah. So. Tell me about it.
Yeah, like, it didn't work out. Like, they got me like maybe 15 to more leads, but like every time I go and I try to bid on something, it's always the company has a lower price than me. That's why I wanted to go down the Google Ads, because I wanted the client to find me instead of me finding them. That way, like, they're looking for a cleaning company, and you know, like, they don't already have one.
No, they will have one. And your best clients are people who already have a janitorial business. They already have one. Like, you are, it is very rare that there's a brand new office opening up that doesn't have a janitorial company yet. Usually the business has moved from one location to another location, taking the company with them, right? They started off another office and then they got it. Like, don't get me wrong, in every company's history, there has to be their first janitorial company. Very, very rare it's going to be you. You know, like, I've spent hundreds of thousands of dollars on Google Ads. My cost for a lead is $250 to $500. My cost for a lead right now is $78.
Oh, okay. And that's all from cold calling. Like, where do you get the, like, the information, like the data from, basically?
You can have a company off Fiverr build you a Excel sheet. So go to Fiverr, be like, hey, I need Excel sheet of businesses, and they'll build one out for you. Phone numbers, all that. Get a CRM, upload it into a CRM, get a script, all that type of stuff. Like, I'm making it sound a lot easier than it is, because you need to just start, like, and you're going to start and it's going to get extremely hard. Now, what I need to go back to what you just said is, what you said is, well, they got me 15, but my price was already higher, always higher. Right. So, like, if they got you 15, 15 is not a bad number, but out of that 15, you should have closed four or five of them. Right. So if you didn't close four or five of them, the problem you have next is in your presentation and having and solving the client's problem, having them have trust that you're going to be able to deliver what you're selling. So, like, that sounds to me like what your next issue is going to be. Because there's so many, like, people are like, well, I just want more leads. And I'm like, okay, great. We can get you leads. And then we get them leads. And then, like, I mean, this is a long time ago when we did this. We get them leads and then they close none. Then they're like, well, the leads weren't good. And then we get another guy leads and he closes half of them. And we're like, oh, they're the same leads. So at least the same quality of leads. So, like, you need to now build the other process out. You should be closing, if you're going down to see somebody, close to 40%.
I think also there was when I was cold calling, when I went to the meeting, I wasn't actually meeting with the actual decision maker. Like, sometimes the manager says yes, and like when I go to them and present them, like, okay, I have to speak with the owner. Like, for example, if it's a gym, like, I had a gym and I was talking to the manager and he's like really excited and like he loved the presentation and everything. When I sent him the offer, he was even like, if the price is not good, like, I'll tell you to, like, what price. Like, he really wanted me to work with him. But, like, the decision maker was the owner of the gym, and he just, he didn't go through with it.
So, stress in any business, okay, stress in any business is always due to a lack of a pipeline. Do you know what that means? Right?
Like, you mean, like...
So, what that means is, when I hear people talking about one or two deals, well, I had this deal, right? I already know what their issue is. It means you don't have enough deals. In the past 2 days, two presenters on our team have talked to 20 people. Right? So we know every deal because we have the notes on every deal and everything. But the second I hear my people start being like, oh, I got this deal, it's going to be really, really good, I know that they probably have a pipeline issue, which means is they don't have enough appointments. Because the way it should look is like, oh yeah, in the next few days, I should be closing down $5,000 to $7,000. There's like six or seven clients. There should be so much coming in that you can't even like pinpoint one. Because anytime I hear somebody banking on one, it means that they don't have enough in their pipeline, which means they don't have enough appointments, right? So you fill the pipeline up, and then you have to present your product and service in the right way that solves their issue, that has them trust you. And then you need to follow up until they say yes. And after they say yes, you need to do an onboarding, bring on the right cleaner, many, many steps.
That's awesome. So do you have any like companies you can recommend like for the sales, the cold calls and like reaching out?
If I was you, I would go on to OnlinePH. It's a company where you can hire people from the Philippines. And I would put an ad in for a salesperson. Again, I'm going to give you the overall gist of everything, right? There is a million micro steps in between, but I'm giving you the 500 foot view. So is going to be a lot harder than what I tell you. I just want to make that very clear, because I tell people this stuff and they're like, oh, I hired one person and didn't work out, so it doesn't work out. I'm like, hire 7 people a week. You know what I mean? Like, it's like the volume is just not enough. They always have a volume issue. Right. So, go on to Online PH, put an ad in for an appointment setter, right? Make sure that they have real world appointment setting experience. They could probably, they should be able to design a script for you, or they've done it before. You might have to interview 50 people to find the right one for you, and then have them start doing it. You, if you want, you could even have ChatGPT write you up a script. It's like, I mean, I don't know. It's not the best script. If you, should be very simple, like very, very simple. Hey, can I speak to the right person? You speak to that person, then it's like, hey, we've been able to save businesses X amount of money and improve their cleaning. Can we sit down with you and meet for a quote? Like, it's like, I'm paraphrasing it right now, but that's all it should be, right? Yeah. And then once they say yes, you should be qualifying it. Oh, great. How many days a week do you clean? And then you're looking for problems, right? What's one thing you want to improve that's for, like, for the reason why you're sitting down with me? Like, what are the things that you want to improve? Okay. They go, well, nothing. You called me. Okay, great. I understand. I called you. If you had to improve one thing with your existing service, or you want something in your new service, what would it be?
Yeah.
And you have to find like a DBM, a reason that they want it. So for us, all of our appointments that are bad don't have a DBM. Somebody just says, yes, we show up. Right. And all of a sudden they're like, well, just take the quote. But if somebody's like, yeah, we're really unhappy with X, Y, Z, very, very easy for us to solve the problem.
Wow. That's awesome. Yeah. Most of them have been like, they had like pricing issues. Like they wanted to see if they can get a lower price, I guess.
Yeah. And honestly, that's great. But what is that tied to? Okay. So like two things you have to understand when you talk about a lower price is it needs to be tied to something. Hey, I really want to save money, but why do you want to save money? Like money's not real, right? So what are you doing with that money? If they're like, oh yeah, we want to save money because we're actually trying to put an investment in on another property right now. Okay, great. Then it's maybe worth it for him to save money because he's trying to do something with it. But if he's just being like, yeah, I'd like to save money, very, very hard to tie something to it. Two is, you going to be able to save enough money for him in order to make it worth it for him to make all the changes?
Absolutely.
They got to change out keys. They got to like trust a new person. They got to let go of their other person. They probably have to hunt them down. Like it's a grind. That's where we get hung up on 5% of our deals. 5% of our deals go into like a limbo mode because they just can't get a hold of their existing janitorial company. But like we've sent them 5 emails and 2 phone calls. We're like, okay, you want us to call them? And we'll call them and we'll do it for them.
That's awesome. Yeah, so you don't recommend me at all to do any Google ads, like even like just test it.
Man, you don't have the budget for it.
Yeah.
Like you don't have the budget for it. Like, and I'm being brutally honest about it. If you do it, you need like 5 to 10K. And even then you have to be comfortable with losing 5 to 10K for like 2 or 3 months until you figure it out.
Yeah.
Like we lost probably 10K a month for like 3 months until we figured it out. And like, okay, well, it's working. We're getting leads, but we're paying $500 a lead to $250 to $500 a lead. And I'm like, dude, I can get 12 leads for $1,200. I'm like, this makes no sense. There is no reason of doing it for us. So we just cut it. And I know people out there, that's all they do. They spend 20, 30 grand a month and they're happy with the leads they get. And they go do those leads because they don't want to learn how to sell. Sure. But again, you have to waste money at the beginning to figure it out. And you're a small business that doesn't have money to waste.
No, that's actually, that makes sense. Absolutely. I agree with you. Yeah, so just like cold calling, basically, as long as you said like volume, like I can't be having like 2-3 meetings a month and then saying I'm not getting any contracts.
Yeah, like every single new business, when I chat with them, their number one problem is they always underestimate efforts. They think ones and twoses, right? Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Well, I went on 2 appointments and it didn't work. I'm like, go in 200. Yeah. And then you're going to be able to start seeing like, oh my God, like this same question popped up 5 times and I didn't have an answer for it. Maybe I need to have an answer for it. Right? Yeah. Maybe I need to develop something to bring a proposal to the site. So when I'm done, I sit down with them while I'm there and I push them to sign. So I don't have to leave and come back. Because like you start, what happens is once you build a process out, all you do after you build it out, it becomes a million 1% changes. Right? You're like, oh, like we just made some changes. We're like, okay, how do we get people to show up for more appointments? Well, we started giving them coffee. We started sending them $5 Tim Hortons gift cards, right? Fun. And increased our SIP percentage 20%. Well, man, yeah. that's a huge, huge number for us. That's going to equal $4,000 or $5,000 more a month in sales. It's only going to cost us $1,000. So like that was a 1% change, well, you know? And then all awesome. Of a sudden, so like there's a million of these little things that you'll have to do. So every time you do it, you need to evaluate, is what I'm doing working? If it's not, where's the 1% change that's going to get me the most value? And you need to focus on that constraint until you fix it. And like, there's so much content on the internet. Like the way I figured that $5 thing out, I just went on YouTube and looked at sit rates and watched videos for 2 hours. And I was like, okay, here's 3 things everybody does. And I was like, all right, let's implement it. So like all the stuff's out there.
Yeah, I actually saw something similar to that when I was doing some research. No, absolutely. Yeah, like I'll be doing the sales, the cold calls and everything. Also cold emails maybe. But as I said, like the problem is even like when I go to the meetings, I don't get to sit with the actual decision makers. So
you never will.
As much as a good impression I can
80%
make.
80% of the deals we get, I don't mean to cut you off, right? That's like okay. 80% of the deals we get are from influencers, they're not from decision makers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Right? What matters the most is if there is enough of a need in the business to make a switch. If there's enough of a problem that you're solving.
Yeah.
If there is, the owner is going to take value in that. Because majority of our deals got to be passed over to a board, right? Or they got to, like, we actually never run into, oh, you know, we got to get 2 other quotes because we cold call out. So they weren't looking. Mm-hmm. So we actually don't compete with anybody when we do outbound. That's a really big positive of it. You're never competing with somebody ever. Okay. It's just you and their existing company usually. But like you want to get in front of the right person, but a lot of the time that person just signs yes or no. And whoever they sent to do the walkthrough is the person who really makes the decision. The other person's just a signer. You might have 3 signers in a company. They're just going to look at the number and they're going to look at, does the guy that came in think this company is going to be a good company? When we had an office, I didn't look at any of that stuff. I had 2 people look at it all for me and they just brought me the final thing and they're like, hey, we really want this. I'm just like, okay.
Oh, awesome. Right? The influence. So, I mean, yeah, that makes sense.
So that they're an influencer. Majority of the time, you're going to get influencers. Don't be scared of it.
Hmm. Okay. No, wise words, man. Absolutely. Thank you so much for the information. This is kind of enlightening me, you know? Some new.
Good, man. We're here to help you out.
Some stuff I wasn't, like, even open to. I have also one more question.
Sure. So,
after that, you like, how do you hire like the employees? Do you ask them any kind of specific questions, and how do you go on about training them? Like, are there
we build out an avatar.
Avatar.
So we build out an avatar of what the perfect employee looks like, and we only hire those people.
Okay.
Right. We only hire those people that meet those qualifications. That's it. Husband and wife couple. Husband and wife couple. So this way, if one person's sick, the other person could go clean. I don't never need to worry about somebody calling in sick, right? Has a vehicle, has a cell phone, has previous cleaning experience, works a full-time job that I can call and be like, hey, how are they? Oh, they're great. They show up every day. They're amazing. Perfect. That means they're going to be amazing in my building.
Okay.
Right? So like there's a specific avatar we have and we only hire with them. And then once we find somebody who's really influential in their community, right, we keep getting referrals from that person. So we'll hire somebody, bring somebody on, husband and wife, and I'll be like, hey, do you know anybody? And they'll be like, oh yeah, we know two people looking for work. And then I'll bring two people on. And then I ask those two, three people, I'm like, hey, do you know anybody? And that's honestly how we've hired people. And then every once in a while, when we go into a new city, we have to put ads in and stuff like this. But majority of the time, we hire from other people.
That's interesting, man. No, that's awesome, actually. What's like the biggest challenge you say you have faced, like, in the, like, what is something that you have overcome, and how did you overcome it while building this company?
My own limiting beliefs that I'm not good enough. I get capped, or I'm like, oh my God, dude, I want to get to 40 million, but I got this piece inside of me that's like, you'll never be able to do that. You know, voice. So like, I need to constantly be overcoming that. And the way I overcome it is with just W's and wins. 1% wins. I change a no say. I'm like, oh, that worked. And then I hire a really good person, and I'm like, oh, that worked. Right? Like, and it's these little wins that keep it going. And before you look back, you're like, oh my God, we're at 7 million. You're like, oh my God, I could actually get to 40. And like, it is my limiting beliefs. It is 100%. I am my own worst enemy, period.
I think that's the best answer you could have like given, because now I know like I'm not alone, because I get this feeling, and like, a lot of entrepreneurs do get this feeling. I also read a lot of books and I have read about it. So,
It's like an imposter syndrome almost, where you're just like, really? So it's a weird one. I have it. I've had it at doing 250 grand a month in sales. I've had it at a million. I've had it doing 7. I'll probably have it when we hit 40, you know, like I'll probably have it then, you know, cause I mean, always like, man, can you imagine if I could ever get to $1 million in sales and then we hit it. And then I'm like, oh my God, like what if we got to 3 and then we hit it? So like, it's this limiting belief in myself. And that's actually what holds me back from doing it quicker. I bet done it 10 times faster if I just believed in myself more, and I would have made some more mistakes.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, that's awesome, man. That's the reason you're so like big and you're going to keep growing, because some people just settle for less. Like, I don't think I'll get to a point where I settle to like, even if I'm making 10 million a month, I'll be like, I have
it's
to
easy to get distracted. Like that's another thing that happens is you get new people in your life. All of a sudden, like, you know, money at the beginning is such a problem to you because you have none. And then all of a sudden, one day you look in your bank account, there's $1 million sitting there. And I know to the big guys, Grant Cardone, everything, they'd be like, oh, you're still broke. I'm like, but when you were 86K in debt and then you have $1 million one day, I'm like, you feel like you're on top of the world. But what ends up happening is you end up just having other problems.
Yeah,
you know, and I could burn through $1 million in 3 months. It sounds crazy now. And if you would have told me that 10 years ago, I'd be like, no way. But $1 million I could burn through in no time. So like, we have to start thinking about how do we make 3 to 5 million in profit a year? Right. And then every time we hit these benchmarks and numbers, I'm like, it's still not enough. Because what happens is we're now bringing on C-suite people and better people for the company. And this guy doesn't cost me 70, he cost me 300. So I'm like, shit, now we have to go bring on, like, it's this like perpetual self-fulfilling prophecy of more is always what ends up happening.
No, that's awesome, man. Yeah, like the more money you have, the bigger the problems. I've heard like someone say like, when you have this step, this like certain amount of money range, there's like this kind of problems. And the more money you make, the bigger the problems is, you know?
Yeah.
So that like, it comes with them.
It's the dollar amount just changes, but the problems are the same. So the way I'll put it to you is you're like, man, I got $1,000 to spend on somebody, 1 to 3. And to you, you're like, fuck, that's a lot of money. What happens if it doesn't work? You know?
Yeah.
With me, that's true. Like, oh my God, I have 50 grand I need to now spend and to get more leads. And I'm like, oh my God, that's crazy. $50,000. What if that doesn't work? But I remember 5 years ago when I was like $5,000, that's a lot of money. It just keeps happening. Now, we used to bring an employee for 60 grand a year. And I'd be like, man, that's a lot of money. But we got like tons of those now. And now we're looking at people for 300. And I'm like, that's crazy. I'd never pay somebody three. But like, that's my own limiting belief getting in my way. You know, because you start looking at these giant CEOs that are like exploding these companies, not exploding them in a bad way, in a good way. They're like 17 million a year. I'm like, okay, so all these big companies have high-end C-suite people. And I'm not suggesting paying people not what they're worth. Because if I pay somebody 300, I got to get 1.5 million back. But like, you have to start investing and understand at the beginning, you're just going to lose money.
Absolutely. Yeah, like I believe for me, it's more like of a challenge. Like I come from a comfortable family, but like, so like money, making money is not what like my goal is. But like, I feel like I have it, like it's like a kind of a challenge. Like I feel insecure if I look at other people who are like successful and who have come from nothing and like worse places that I'm at right now. And like, why can't I do the same? You know, it's not like I'm jealous of them, but like, it's kind of a challenge. Like I always set like big expectations that I try to smash them, you know?
Yeah, I compare myself to people all the time. I've never understood when people are like, well, comparing yourself to other people is one of the most unhealthiest things that you could do. I mean, I'll see a guy in a Lambo and I'm like, motherfucker. And I'm not like, motherfucker, how could he have done that? That's such a waste of money. And I'm like, motherfucker. I'm like, gotta go back to work. 100%. Yeah. I'm like, I got to go back to work. Right. And I know they say it's not the right way to live, you know, like, but for me, it works. It just works. Yeah. Like I see a guy that's making 2 million a year and I'm like, dude, it's possible. The money's out there.
It's an
inspiration to me. I'm like, dude, I'm going to beat this guy. And yes, I'm competitive. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. It's whatever works for you. If a girl breaks up with you and she breaks your heart and that's the fuel you use, fucking use it. It doesn't matter where it comes from. Just use the fuel, get to where you got to go.
Absolutely, man. Yeah, and that's what like sets like successful people apart from people who just don't think the same way. Because if you're not always challenging yourself and trying to grow, you're never going to be successful.
Yeah. Or you hear these gurus talk about like, no, you can't compete yourself with other people. And maybe they don't do it now when they got 500 million in the bank. But I guarantee you when they had $1,000, they were looking at everybody around them and being like, man, I need to become that successful. Absolutely. So like sometimes we don't model the rise. We model when they're on top. And what you always want to do is model the rise to the top. How did they do it to get there? Not what are they doing now that they're there?
Absolutely. Yeah, no, 100%. Absolutely. You just set a big expectation and dream high, you know, especially when you look at people who are very successful, but they have come from nothing. So you have no excuse, basically.
Most guys who are very successful come from nothing.
Yeah, so you have no excuse, you know? You're sitting at a better spot where they're like at a worse situation and like it's so successful. Yeah.
I got a friend that's a realtor. He's like one of the top realtors in Calgary. Like 4 years ago, he was living in a basement. So like he was the brokest you could possibly be. And now he's making, you know, 2 million a year with a giant company like that he runs. So, I mean, one good year can fix all your problems, all of your problems. One bad year can set you back 3 years, but one good year can fix all of it, you know, and sales fixes everything. Like when we started, we didn't know anything. I didn't know anything. Mm-hmm. I had to go to a janitorial supply shop and be like, hey, what do I need here? And he's like, well, there's 5 different types of brooms. And I'm like, what the fuck? I thought there was one broom. Give me a broom. They're like, it's corner broom, edger, flat mop, dust. And I'm like, Jesus. I had to convince him to come out and show me how to clean the building. And then that's what we did. And then I continued to clean it afterward. It was some grubby bar where there was like puke and fucking, it was terrible. And I was like, all right, I said I wanted to do this, you know? And that's what I started cleaning. And I, like, you need to understand, I came from a job where I was making 100, 150 a year running call centers in the Philippines and other places. And I went right to cleaning toilets, making nothing.
Yeah.
So
you took a risk. It paid off.
It paid off. Yeah. it paid off.
Absolutely. And if you were to meet the person you were back then and tell them what you're going to accomplish in such like a short time, you wouldn't have believed. But like, that's why you always set high expectations.
I don't think I would believe it.
Absolutely, yeah. No, that's awesome. It's very inspirational, you know, like your story and everything. And as I said, man, I really appreciate the time.
No worries, man.
Like, this is very valuable for me. It's going to like shape out my future.
We're here to help you out. We do this with a lot of our partners and you know, even companies or not, we're going to start creating a lot of content to help people out. That's what 2024 is, building a really big community around our partners, but building a community around just the janitorial industry and how to really help them get leads. They struggle with two things, all companies. Where do I get leads from? And then where do I get employees from? But they tie everything to a lead. So they go, oh, I went there and that person didn't go with me. It was because the lead was bad. No, you probably didn't show up in the right attire. You probably didn't talk the right language. You probably didn't ask the right questions. You probably didn't deliver a proposal correctly, right? It very rarely, 50-50, it can be the lead, depending on where it comes from.
Absolutely, man.
Any other questions, sir?
No, that's it. Like, I'd love to also stay in touch, and maybe like in
go ahead
6 months, I'll hop back on the podcast with you, and I'll be telling you, I'll be making $100,000 a year. That's a promise. Shit.
6 months, you should be able to do that. We did 250 our first year, so it's more than possible. I know companies that have been in business for 10 years that haven't done 250 a year. So it is 1,000% possible.
No, okay. Yeah, that's a promise for you. Like, I'll hop back with you on the podcast, and I'll be making $100,000 a year.
Okay, all right, my friend. That's you my have goal. A great day, and we will chat sometime soon. If you have questions, just hit me up through email.
Absolutely, man. And maybe sometime we can go out for coffee, bro. I'd love that.
I love it, man. I love it. I love hanging out with other people. Sounds good.
Thank you so much, man. Yeah, thanks. We'll stay in touch. Yeah, have a good day. Thank you. Bye bye.